Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
This is how God protects his children. It's my ADHD that keeps my hypochondria functional. On those days I've convinced myself I need an ambulance, by the time I get to the phone to call one, I've been distracted 4 or 5 times.
So you're searching into the 1990s at this point. What happened that ended that search?
Well, I met a guy on the road. He was a multimillionaire businessman, you know, and my marriage had imploded. Before I met him, I think we had filed divorce papers and had them notarized. And about 10 minutes from filing them, Tammy, my wife, changed her mind. And we turned around and went home. So I was in the middle of getting a divorce, but not there yet. We were separated, kind of, sort of. You know, it was just not a good time. And I met this guy, and he was doing comedy for $100 a week. He had just sold some business to some huge conglomerate and made a pile of money, and he just wanted to tell jokes for $100 a week. And what I didn't know was he was a Bible-believing Christian. So I think we were out golfing. In the middle of the conversations, I was asking him, how do you accumulate wealth? Figuring that if money was the answer to my problems, then I better start making some money. And he said, well, you don't want a lot of money. And I go, what do you mean? He goes, apparently you can't handle what little you have, and more of it would just be a burden and cause you problems. Besides, you can't enjoy the creation until you have a relationship with the one who created it. Otherwise, it'll all be meaningless. And that resonated with me because I believe that. So I said, well, where'd you read that at? I'll go get the book. And he says, well, it's biblical, the relationship part. A couple holes went by, said something else. I said, wow, that's amazing. Where do you read that? He goes, Bible. I said, well, you can stop it with the Bible. He goes, why? I go, well, who actually reads the Bible? He said, I do. And I go, why? I mean, he goes, why don't you? And I said, God's word, a little archaic. And he said, well, what's in the Bible you don't think is true? I said, well, I really don't know. I've never read the Bible. He goes, you're not really an atheist. You're a moron. And he went on to explain it was the most influential book in the history of the world. Continues to outsell every other book every year. And you can't even crack it open. That's just lazy and moronic. From that, we became good friends. And I observed his life, and it was attractive, the way he treated his wife and kids. And then he signed me up for Bible tapes. And I didn't open one up for over a year. And he never asked me, you know, hey, I sent you those tapes. Are you listening to them? You enjoying it? He sent me a Bible. I never read that until it was time. And then Tammy took the kids. She was going to Ohio. I didn't think she was coming back. And I gathered up all these tapes. And anyway, I opened one up one day. It was a manila envelope with two tapes in it. And one of them was Ecclesiastes. And I heard meaningless, meaningless. And from that moment forward, I knew there was a God. When I hit Genesis 1:1, God, in the beginning, God, that's what broke me. I remember calling Phil up and sobbing on the phone. There's a God. There's a God. I can't believe there's a God. He goes, yeah, I've been trying to tell you like for a year, you know. And he goes, what's the problem? I go, blasphemy, cursing him, denying him, you know. And he goes, have you gotten to the cross yet in your listening? And I have the cross. He goes, oh, I can't ruin the ending for you, man. Jesus went to the cross for just those very reasons. And it's hard for me even today, 20 some years later, to hear the story of the prodigal son and not get broken. Just the thought of the father running to his wayward son. God has given us through common grace a wonderful inheritance, and we tend to throw it back in his face. So I probably listened to a year's worth of Bible tapes in 2 or 3 months, and then I was visiting Phil in Texas, and he says to me after lunch, when I met you, God put it on my heart, you were looking for something. Have you found it? And I said, if Jesus is not who he claimed to be, then Solomon was right. And that was it.
How hard was it for you as a stand-up comedian? I don't know what your act was like prior to getting saved, but how hard was it to then switch that part of your life around?
Well, in hindsight, I think God was pulling me towards all of that, because we got called to school. My son was in fourth grade, and he called his teacher some really nasty names. And the teacher said to us, I can't repeat what he said. She wrote it down. You know? And I said, I'd love to look you in the eye and tell you I have no idea where that child heard that kind of language. But the truth is, he's been in and out of nightclubs. We talk like that at home when we're angry. And we were driving home, and my wife said to me, she goes, we need to make some changes. That's really unattractive on our children. So I started paying my kids a quarter for every word that came out of my mouth that was inappropriate. It made me aware of what came out of my mouth. And then on stage, the material wasn't really dirty. It's kind of what I do now. I just had language issues. Cleaning up really didn't take that long. And I found, as a storyteller, I became better at what I did, because, you know, you have to replace those words. And we have a wonderful language if we use it. It worked for me. It was a great fit. And again, in hindsight, I think God was just working and shaping me towards my future. When I was willing to knock on his door and seek him.